the OTB Podcast Network.
Alan, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good. It's hard to know how important these games are in terms of the lessons that we're learning at the moment from the Rainbow Cup, because, like, no one ever grew up dreaming of winning a Rainbow Cup. And yet, these are full-blown matches with players playing for form ahead of lines, all that kind of stuff. So what are you taking away from these games?
It's difficult, Chair. I think, I suppose round one was, I was a little bit more excited and pleased with the games. I think we saw some really good performances, some good rugby. I just thought round two was a little bit, didn't get as much excited about it, but you know, they still are inter-pro games. I think there's, as you said, there's a lot to play for players. The Lions squad is picked. Some now just have to get through performances. Others have a point to prove. There's no Irish tour this summer. So I think that added a little bit of spice to the Rainbow Cup, that we would have seen a little bit more intensity and desire from guys to try and make a summer tour and grab some attention. But look, they're all professionals. They've got to try and perform and take something. There's an opportunity to take something out of the season, whether you win the Rainbow Cup or not. But they've got to keep going and keep performing. Ulster were very disappointing on Friday night. I think backed up a really bad second half against Leicester with a really poor performance at Thomond Park. And Leinster reacted then to what happened in La Rochelle the week before after going 16 down. So I suppose if you're a player, the juices mightn't be flowing as much as you know, a Pro 14 knockout game or a big Pro 14 game or a European game. But still, at the same time, there's a lot to play for the individuals.
And from a coaching perspective, is there stuff that you think that any of the four coaching setups in Ireland are going to be learning about their players or patterns of play or any of that kind of stuff? Or do they end up just trying to focus on individual performance markers at this point of the season too?
No, they've got to take something out of it themselves. And for Munster, it's, I think, just trying to expand a little bit their attacking game. I thought defensively they were very strong and aggressive, and they continued on with that aggressive approach that they and dominance that they had against Leinster a couple of weeks ago, albeit it was a weaker Leinster team. I think the concern for Ulster was how physical Munster were and how they just weren't able to cope or get over the gain line. And, you know, it was always going to be difficult for Ulster going down to Thomond Park. And we spoke about the psychological effects. I think there's a lot to be gained here in the next couple of weeks for teams, particularly in these inter-pro games. You know, Connacht obviously have to go to Thomond Park on Friday and Leinster host Ulster. So, you know, there's still... There's a sense of a bit of desperation from Connacht and Ulster now with their performances. But of course the coaches can build on stuff. You can work on things. You can integrate some players. You can have a little bit more of a look. There's less pressure, if you like. And we've probably seen that in the first couple of rounds where teams have the shackles off a little bit. You can still see, you know, obviously the blueprints or the pattern or the type of game that some teams play, but we've seen a little bit more a looser approach to the Rainbow Cup, and there's less pressure. I think it's not the be all and end all, but still there's an opportunity. And you know, I'd be very surprised if Leinster didn't you know, go for every game now and try and win the Rainbow Cup. It wouldn't have been high on their priority list, but now I think they, and that performance after, you know, 15 minutes against Connacht showed that they're still a very good side, and that the reaction was very, very positive for them. But, you know, everyone has their own reasons and desire to try and win these matches. Munster are trying to get a trophy. They're in a good position now to win the rest of their games, but I just have a feeling now themselves and Benetton are the only two teams who won the first two games. And it's a straight 12 teams, and the top two will go into a final. We still don't know what the fixtures are for 4 and 5. I think the teams know themselves who they're playing the next couple of weeks. But there's a fair bit to be gained. And I think you can try things a little bit different and you can look at the individual reactions. If I was a coach of any of the teams, I'd be looking at players who drop their standards a little bit, or players in the opposite who really show a desire and a want to improve and get better. And you can build stuff on the back of that for next season.
I think it is impossible to separate some of the big performers at the weekend from all the Lions chat over the course of the last week. And while a lot of that chat has focused on people who didn't make it, people who had injury worries, people who weren't durable enough to go on the tour, we've maybe overlooked some of the people who did make it a bit. And Conor Murray is one player, Alan, who's really timed this perfectly in terms of fitness, in terms of form, and it is in really good shape going to South Africa.
Yeah, he was very good the other night, I think. And it's amazing what even a selection like that can do if there is any chink in the confidence. I think, you know, Connor's the last 18 months or 2 years has been up and down. He's had critics. He's produced big performances. He's produced poor performances. And that's the nature of the beast. But I think it's hard to judge anyone on these games because I think Ulster were very poor the other night. I was really disappointed with them. I thought they'd... the Munster were good now, in fairness, don't get me wrong. They were very, very strong and dominant and aggressive. And Johan van Graan got a continuation of the, I suppose, the frustration, the anger going back to the Pro 14 final and losing against Toulouse, which was a tough couple of weeks for them. And they're the ones showing that they want to improve their performances and build on it and take something out of this. And yeah, Conor Murray... on the back of his forwards, you know, and I played very well in front of him. He performed very, very well, was dangerous throughout, making little snipes, breaks. And that's what you want to see from top players, you know, in these games that you perceive to be not the most important. I think they're the little things that coaches will watch, how players perform. And he showed again the other night that... you know, there is that desire, that passion, that fire is still there, and he produced a very good performance.
I guess for anybody who is on the Lions plane as it stands at the moment, these games are kind of important, but not really. All you need to do is to be fit so that when you get to the tour, you get the opportunity to show the selectors that your form is good. Or how good does your form need to be over the next couple of weeks before that Japan game, before they actually leave?
I think in an ideal world, you've got to, as a player, you can't think. Look, at the back of their mind, I think they'll be all hoping and praying that nobody picks up a knock or a bang in the next couple of weeks, because even a small knock, I think, could put someone's tour in jeopardy, given that the tour is condensed a little bit. But you can't think about that. You can't think about injury. You've got to try and just go out and play and perform and build on your own individual match practice, fitness level, and confidence. If you can keep those performances going. I think obviously when I got selected in 2009, the first match afterwards was the Scarlets, and I didn't in any way think that, you know, I've got to mind myself now in the next couple of weeks. You can't do that. When we watch some of these games, we sometimes think players just have to get through it. But I think from a player's point of view, you've just got to go out and do what you've been doing and not really focus on that. In that game, obviously, Tomás O'Leary got an horrendous injury, which was heartbreaking. And in that game, and it's a tricky one. I think, you know, deep down, players will be just praying and hoping that they can get through the next couple of weeks. And if that's on the back of good performances and good form, and I think that the first couple of games, I think the Lions' first test will be selected on the back of the games that they play as a group, the Japan game and the other games that they play before that first test. So I don't think any of the coaches, obviously if someone is alarmingly bad and missing tackles or just really, really underperforming, it would concern Warren Gatland. But I think any of the players they don't have to do anything spectacular. They just got to make sure that they're fit, getting around the field and look like they they want to perform and that they're getting involved all the time because the worst thing that can happen is players standing back.
No one's actually playing themselves into the test team by the club forum between now and...
I don't believe so.
No.
I don't think so. I think there's certain guys that if they finish well in the Premiership in England and they put in top class performances, or if, you know, certain guys get into a Rainbow Cup final or whatever like that, you know, of course it would grab the attention of the selectors and Warren Gatland. But I think overall players just have got to look good in the next couple of weeks. Not look bad, if that makes sense, because if you're looking bad and you're trudging around the field and looking like you are minding yourself, that would probably frustrate a coach or catch Warren Gatland's eye. It's just about keeping the fitness levels up, and obviously you've got to hope and pray that you don't pick up injuries, but you try and put that to the back of your mind, because that's risky if you stand off, and if you're minding yourself a little bit, that's something that wouldn't be advisable. I don't think anybody will do that. I was hoping Jack Conan would play the full game the other night. I wanted to just see him be a dominant figure, be someone who kind of put his chest out and said, yeah, I got picked. Little bit of a surprise selection, but here's my quality. This is what I can do. And it was a shame, but you saw the effort levels of Ringrose and, you know, the frustration probably that he would have. But I think there's definitely going to be injuries. There's definitely going to be, it's always happened in Lions tours that there's going to be some injuries. And players have to be ready and willing to kind of jump at that chance if they get the opportunity. I think the guys who are on the periphery have to keep playing well, show good attitude. You saw Kyle Sinclair for Bristol at the weekend getting the Man of the Match award. And I'm not sure if you saw the interview afterwards. He showed the emotion and what it meant to him. And so, you know, I would be amazed if Warren Gatland didn't see that and go, that's exactly what I want. That's what I want from the players who didn't get picked and didn't get selected. If somebody gets injured, that they're super fit, ready to go, they've minded themselves in this period of time. It'd be very easy to kind of switch off now at the end of the season and, you know, get through the last couple of games and let yourself go a bit, not do the extra fitness sessions, the extra skill sessions, all that kind of stuff. But you know, there will be, unfortunately for some players, they may not make the plane because they may pick up injuries and knocks.
Who was the most unfortunate to miss out, Alan, across all countries? Because I know this is the first time we've had you on since the Lions announcement.
I think Johnny Sexton is. James Ryan hasn't played. If you go back a couple of weeks, even the start of the Six Nations, James Ryan's name was nailed on. You know, there was talks at different periods over the last 2 years about potential captaincy and the acceleration that and the improvement that he had shown. It's a really tough blow for him because he hasn't become a bad player. He's just unfortunate with the concussion he got. Maybe a little dip in form as well. I remember interviewing him 2 years ago near the end of the 2018 season, and like, it was sensational. 20 something games, all wins, Grand Slam, about to play in the European final, Pro 14 final. It was sensational what was happening there, and he's played a lot of rugby since then, and this year obviously with the pandemic and a lot of chopping and changing. And then that injury he got, it just didn't do him any favours, I think. And I think it's unfair for people to judge Leinster on the La Rochelle game and their Lions contingent, the players who missed out. It's a tough one. It's a harsh one. But I think Warren Gatland just needed to see. They needed to see Sexton back out in the field in the last couple of weeks, Jonathan Sexton, and probably more dominant performance from James Ryan. So I feel sorry for them. Gary Ringrose as well. On another day, a couple of good games for Leinster. All three would have been on that plane. So from an Irish perspective, I think that's unfortunate. I think someone like Billy Vunipola, Johnny May, I think Johnny May is a really kind of tough one as well, because I've looked at him the last couple of years and thought, this guy's the best winger in the world. And, you know, so they're unfortunate with their timing. It is about timing. I think Alan Wynne-Jones said that the other day. You know, England had a really poor Six Nations and for various different reasons. And that cost, even though they still have 11 players on the plane, that cost them. But I think, you know, it's hugely disappointing from an Irish point of view that those three didn't make it. And a Leinster point of view, and for the players themselves personally, because on another day they could be on that plane.
Is there an impact on how long Sexton plays? Like, does this make him more determined to last through to the next World Cup, or what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone said that to me the other day, that will this kind of dent the desire and the want and the his ability to kind of keep going? I don't think so, because I think it may have a benefit. You know, he'll have a summer off, which he wouldn't have wanted. He's got to recover, actually, obviously, from those head knocks that he's had, and they are concerning for sure. People are trying to figure out why is he getting so many? Why did he get three in recent times? I don't know. Some of them are very unlucky. You look at the Welsh one; it's a knee when he's carrying the ball. He had the ball. It's just frustrating, and it's bad luck, and it's timing for him. So, you know, he has another year. He signed a new contract, so I would be very surprised if you see any slacking off from Johnny Sexton. And he said it himself, it's a year-by-year bit thing now. This will hurt him a lot, you know. This will hurt a lot that he hasn't got on this tour, because it would have been a big goal of his to get on the tour. And we're not really sure where the World Cup situation is now, whether it will continue on. You know, that conversation will start next December, whether he signs another contract or an extension, or January maybe after post-Christmas. So it's it depends on what the player wants himself. You know, I know myself, when you get to that stage, it is year on year, and that's what he said recently. I think secretly and deep down, he would love to go to the next World Cup, but he probably won't be saying that as much anymore. I think he will just see where he's at. But it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he does, because that's the type. And that was one of the reasons why I would have taken him to South Africa. He's a big game player. I think Rog said that, used that quote. And that's what he is. He was a big loss for Leinster and La Rochelle. And it just depends what he's feeling himself. You know, at that stage, things can change in your own mind. It can reignite the spark in him again to go. If he gets a good break, spends time with the family this summer, not what he would have wanted. But let's see what happens next year with Johnny Sexton, and where he's performing and how he recovers.
Yeah, and look, if he is going to somehow be a late call-up, you'd need to see him back playing. And I suppose that was the other big doubt. Like, he hasn't not been selected because he's not playing well. He hasn't been selected because he's not available for selection at the moment for Leinster and hasn't played for a while. Like, that was the concern that Gatland had. It wasn't that he wasn't a big game player. And you don't know that he's going to be fit by the time the stuff rolls around. You know, kind of, it's an interesting situation now for Leinster. Do you stand him down for the rest of the season and say, take that rest because ultimately this isn't important? Or do you get him back on the field on the off chance that one of the out-halves gets injured and he's like, well, I need to prove my fitness if that happens?
Well, when he's fit, getting back in the field, I think that's what he'll want. That's what I would want as a player. And, you know, of course, there is merit in what Warren Gatland is saying. You know, I think he needed to see Johnny Sexton the last few weeks playing matches, playing a couple of games. He hasn't played that many games this season. And that's the issue. That's what went against him. I still would have, you know, tried to get him in there. But, you know, if it backfires, then people will be saying Warren Gatland was wrong to pick him. And, you know, there was a lot of Dan Biggar has played well this year. Finn Russell has played well. And Farrell, obviously, is the third fly half. Or maybe the one that started fly half. But it's just unfortunate, you know. And it's the same for James Ryan. I don't think it was about solely about performance. I think it was seeing these guys in the last couple of weeks would have possibly got them on the plane, which is frustrating and disappointing. But still, eight Irish guys on the tour is brilliant. Bundiaki was the one probably blindsided everybody as well. But again, I understand why Gatland picked him and why he's going to be on that and not tour.
Yeah. All right, Alan, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.